Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not following your line of questioning.
Another episode, Don't Ask Me No Questions, here in the Cropod. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at The Famous Headwear, thefamousheadwear.co.uk. And, of course, Blue Room Art at blueroomart.co.uk. And, Danny, we got to start off. I got picking a winner first. And it's Andy Simpson, he's not even a monthly contributor. He's just a guy who threw in a few quid. And, Andy, for your generous contribution to the Cropod, you get a lovely thing. I want you to hang it. I want to see it where you put it in the house to piss your missus off in the most prominent place possible. So I will send Andy an email to get his details. He's getting a lovely canvas from Blue Room Art, and some other people are getting some stuff from The Famous. So check your emails. If you get one from me, you won. Danny didn't win. Danny just gets to come here and talk to me. So how you doing?
Yeah, I never win competitions anyway, so I have no desire to enter them. I'm glad you could remember Andy's name there, Shane, because you told me it 5 seconds ago and I've already forgotten. Sorry, Andy, but congratulations.
Oh, I don't know where it's at. You know, usually, we were talking before, usually I come in with some prompts, but I mean, there's just been enough to talk about that doesn't even matter. I mean, well, yesterday was nice. It was like, there were so many fucked up things in that match. And I was like, God damn it, where's this going to go? And then Kevin Clancy decided to be our friend for a day, which was nice, which of course means one, he obviously gets the fucking New Year's Old Firm match. Yeah. He's going to fuck us horribly in that one. But
he is also now a hun. So that spices things up a bit, doesn't it?
It's like, I mean, just the fucking peak Terrier ref. And these people are out for him. Like, God. Oh, man. It was actually fun yesterday. It was strange just watching the match and enjoying it. I mean, Sam Lammers finally, hit a fucking absolute shit pinger, which, you know, good for him. Still want him gone as soon as, this doesn't change anything with that. Get him the fuck out. Bring Haji back. Please make me happy.
Get rid of all of them, please, ideally. including Hadi, because I don't think an injury like that brings around a good recovery. But yeah, like you were saying, Shane, it did have the feeling that could have been one of those days quite easily with the prolonged delay to the start of the match and then the pyro interrupting it, which I have nothing against in particular, but it felt like one of those things that this group would probably use it as an excuse to shy away from a cold and wet, horrible, miserable night in Dundee on a Wednesday.
I mean, if you gotta warm up, there's no better way.
We gave them extra time to warm up because they didn't have the best of preparation, did they? Technically, they should be thanking us.
Well, it was good that Rangers sent out travel advice for the supporters and then did not follow it themselves. So, 0 days since our last nonsense, by the way.
We're so good at things, aren't we? Things, but nothing at the same time. No, yeah, you're right. It was nice to actually enjoy a game for once, and we're starting to see some of the hopefully the early signs of progress on the film. But the first half was a bit of a non-event, goal and early start aside. The second half was really where we picked up. I think that's understandable, though. We adapted to the conditions and we started to play good football. Moved the ball a lot quicker, which is a shocking revelation for this team, because they've been doing it so painfully slowly for months and months on end now.
Yeah, hampering half, I think.
Yeah. But Phil's getting that kind of early indication of what he was supposed to get out of this team, or what he wanted to get, because he spoke about it very early on. They're not quite moving it forward all the time, but at least if it is a sideways or backways pass.
Well, it's still quicker. A Lundstrom problem, isn't it? I mean, John Lundstrom is still where movements go to die. God bless him for everything he did, you know, in the UEFA Cup run, but come on. Can we stop with this?
Yeah, he has been a little bit better of late, but it's still...
Well, I mean, for 40,000 foot a week, I think he should be, you know, maybe at that level. That's kind of where his pay packet determines, I think.
But he is out of contract at the end of the season, so I'll like to see how we fuck that up and give him a new 5-year deal. Alongside Mr. Kemar Roof, who is also out of contract at the end of the season, so them and Barisic, I guess.
How will we replace him? That is the big question.
With any old table or chair that's laying around.
Last night was a match tailor made for him. I mean,
if you got
to play in the swimming pool, you don't want anyone else besides Kemar Roof leading the line. And yet, we had Kevin Clancy, Cyril Dessers, and Sam Lammers combined for a goal. Like, what an unlikely triumvirate to help us.
It's like one of those weird dreams you have after a night out. You wake up the next morning barely remembering a single thing except that very specific detail. Now, how the fuck did that happen? Oh, mate, that's real. Okay. But it was a resounding victory, and I don't think anybody can have any complaints. Like I said,
no.
It's the first time I've ever won it. I can't remember the last time we won 5-0. Never mind 5-0 a week.
Well, I think Clement has... I don't know how you quantify as much XG in three matches as Beal did in nine. Like, it's unfucking believable. It's nice to watch. Like, imagine if we had talented players in the number nine and 10 position.
Can you only imagine?
God.
It shouldn't have been that difficult to do either in the summer, but that was another matter all entirely. We've actually achieved something quite remarkable to end up with such poor quality football. And yet, it was a very easy, straightforward game despite that. But good, nonetheless, to see Danilo getting two. He missed about five, but...
Yeah. That's acceptable. We had five, we could have had 15. I mean,
It's acceptable for a guy that's obviously not played very much lately, and he is playing with a mask around his face, which must
is
be
he?
A
I haven't noticed. Has Tom Miller talked about it? I can't...
The club haven't posted up 15 pictures of it today, so I just wanted to make sure, you know. I did fear it was going to be like that Osimhen thing, where he just seems to have kept the mask, and apparently that's a thing. Think your face is healed by now, mate, but yeah. Good, regardless. I can't even remember how long he stayed on for last night, but he got minutes in the legs and he got two goals. And see, if you miss three or four, put two away and everybody will be happy. That's what we're used to with Alfie anyway, so
good to
have some level of
competency, I think, is all we're looking for.
it's preferential. But yeah, very, very good stuff all round. And you know what? We have to give credit to Lammers where it's due, because he's had an absolute hiding in recent weeks for all the right reasons, unfortunately. But still, a goal and assist. And I think he was involved heavily in the build-up to Jack's goal.
Yeah, so he was. Yeah.
Fair play to him. And the goal was an absolute... contender for goal of the season if Tav hadn't scored the one that he's...
because
that's just what Taff does. But yeah,
well, how nice is it having like good James Tavernier back instead of the one that just looks like he wants the manager to fucking leave He's actually playing again.
Well, like, we'll get to the Hearts game because there's a few points on that, but stepping up and taking a penalty yet again, even though the game's gone, it was finished, he has the balls to do it every single week, no matter what. He probably could have gave it to somebody else that needed a goal, but he's doing it. And the numbers, exactly. But the numbers don't lie, Shane. We mentioned it with Tav, you know, the goal, not just the goal return, but the assists as well, which we'll get to. But yeah, can't complain about a single thing last night, other than maybe the kit. And then maybe also the fact that McCausland got on for, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You're winning a game 3-0 away from home in this league. You should be getting that guy or any of the player on for 20-plus minutes and giving them the freedom of the game to go and do what you can do and see if you can build some confidence at that level. But it's maybe not only complaint, and it's not...
I was going to say, if we're nitpicking on that one after the way the season has started,
it's a good evening.
It's okay.
But it's a stark contrast to how we played at the weekend. I didn't think we could have such a drop-off after a good performance. I thought the game against Hibs would give them a solid level of confidence going into
the second half in Prague, too. I mean, it was...
Eventually they turned up in Prague. There was a good 20 minutes there as well, but there was maybe a good 5 minutes against Hearts, and it was maybe the final five.
About
89
through
94. It was the inverse to the Hibs game, like I said the other week. Hibs, we scored early against Hibs and it set the tone and they took it in their stride. We conceded with a home crowd on our backs and they just crumbled. If Hearts had any quality in them, they could have easily won that game by quite a few, given how poor we were. And one notable mention is, again, Dessers, he took his goal very well against Dundee. He actually had a lot of time to think about it, and the finish was very composed for a change. And he actually struck the ball with some level of direction,
aggression,
I guess.
And hate.
Whereas the game against Hearts at the weekend, that ball that was cleared off the line. How can a striker look like he just can't anticipate anything?
Well, that was me and you were talking on Twitter, xrangers.twitter.com. It's like that looked like me in the Sunday league, but there's a reason I was a holding midfielder in Sunday league football and not a 4 million pound striker.
You still would have put that way without any doubt in my mind, Shane, but yeah.
half cut, half chance. It's going in.
Very, very little to note otherwise, but other than, again, Tavernier, to miss a penalty is quite the sickener in a game like that, but to then step up and take another and put it away and then go on and assist with an incredible ball in for Danilo in the final minutes of the game is some going.
Well, I'll tell you, me and David were talking about it Tuesday.
Yeah.
They're scouting. You have to, every single time Tavernier misses a penalty, the next one goes down in the middle. That is just really bad advanced scouting, really bad coaching, whatever. Like, just don't move. And you're going to stop
somewhat, of the 50 million penalties that he scored, he is somewhat fortunate that teams just don't seem to watch him take penalties.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible.
He scores without any real difficulty for the most part, but given the amount that he's taken, he's always going to miss a few. It's just the fact that he missed them.
Well, I mean, 9 out of 10, you know, that's what you're going to get. I mean, that's even the best ones in the world. Unless you're facing David De Gea every fucking time out. You know,
I remember, was there not a thing with Nacho Novo? I think he eventually ended up missing a penalty, but he hadn't missed a penalty in his entire career, not just his time at Rangers. Yeah. So you get these oddballs that occasionally have that freak statistic, but given the amount that Tav scored and then all of his other contributions, because I feel we have to mention that too, that's now 109 goals and 120 assists in 421 games.
Yep.
You know, that's basically he's played 400-odd games and he's scored or assisted in 200-odd, contributing a goal every second game.
And the thing is, I point out, like, if we kind of assist in football the same way we do in hockey, it's probably one for one. You know, because, like, hockey, they'll count the second pass back before.
Key pass. Yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, the guy leads by example in his performances on the pitch. I don't understand this idea that the captain has to be running about screaming in people's faces when things are going wrong, because I don't think in the modern game that's going to motivate anybody. And you're supposed to have several leaders on the pitch. It shouldn't just be down to Tav, but
I think Butland's kind of growing into it, you know, time that he's here. I mean, he's not quite Shagger level yet of, you know, just berating everyone that fucking moves, but he's getting there. and he's the only, like, Goldson's like, oh, fuck, this guy will yell at me if I fuck up.
I mean, it's always going to have a positive impact if somebody's there to organize the defense, because he sees everything that's going on, but... it's good to have several of those in your team, not just one or two, which is a consequence of the summer as well, because Davis is still kind of there in the background, but he's not a player.
Yeah,
Arfield left, McGregor left, the leadership group had been kind of decimated, so you were left with a bunch of guys that had only won one title in their history, whereas Davis and McGregor and the likes have won several. So, you know, those kind of things are always going to have a prolonged effect, especially when you're starting to pull together a new group. But really good to see Butland having that kind of level of involvement now. With Tav, it's just... Also, I have to remember, he's taken it from pillar to post in recent weeks, and his confidence must be shot, and he's still doing these things. It's quite remarkable. But I think in the league so far this season, is it what? 7 goals and assists in 11 games.
Yeah.
How much more can he do? 3-4 in the CL qualifiers as well.
Yeah.
19 games, 8 goals, 3 assists in total. It's absurd. He'll keep doing it. That's the thing. So we can only be happy with that.
Happy days.
Well, it's good to see. We mentioned it, Shane. It would be nice to see him popping up to the back post a little bit more often now that he's got his confidence back. But the contribution level is just ridiculous.
Ridvan, again, is actually kind of looking like a footballer here, which is very important to having Tav be able to pop up on the back post.
It has to work both sides.
Sima didn't have his best match, but it's still, there was still enough on the left to keep him honest. We get in these matches sometimes where, like, everything has to go through Tavernier on the right. And, now with Cantwell out there, everything has to go through there.
But, I mean, last night, Ridvan, on more than one occasion, which is... one more and several more than Barisic ever would do. On more than one occasion, Ridvan actually turned, faced his man, and ran forwards.
Yes,
is a remarkable thing to do.
You can't scout for that kind of stuff.
No, you can't plan for it. And Dundee really struggled with it. Funnily enough, it actually works. But having runners from midfield as well on a couple of occasions last night, I know Jack got forward and got his goal very early on. So it makes all the difference, along with having people like, even if it is Lammer, having a dig from distance. You get rewards if you try it often enough, and that's just not what we've been doing under.
That's two times in 4 matches now where somebody's just had a go from 25, 30 yards out, and it's gone in. Because sometimes that works.
and nobody's saving Lammer's effort, but back to the Raskin goal, you just have to have a go against it, because these goalkeepers are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
One's going to fly in, whether it's the deflection, whether it's the goalie not anticipating it.
Whether it slowly rolls eventually into the bottom left corner, like an old man easing himself into a bath. I mean, it's just...
it's incredibly frustrating, but we're getting there. We're seeing
the... that's getting the Stephen Davis out of the side. You know, for everything he does well, everything he did well, that would not... I mean, you could give Stephen Davis a clear side opportunity for 20 yards, and 20 times out of 20, he's going to pass it.
And a lot of these things are just instilled in them.
Yeah.
Because I think under the previous managers, it was perhaps not discouraged, but it certainly wasn't encouraged.
No.
Whereas,
well, I mean, like, you know, under Jared, it was find Kent, find Morales, find Aribo. I mean, that was it. It was never that. Well, and again, I mean, Stephen Davis has never done that in his career. You know, so it just it built up more and more into the side, and you know, I mean, trying to get that out. Thankfully, it looks like maybe we have.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to get people out of their bad habits, whether it be on the pitch or off the pitch, and we can get into that side of it as well, because the manager certainly had a pop at things recently in that regard. The better habits breed better results.
Well, I'll tell you, let's take the break here. Let's come back. We need to talk a little bit more about the fitness and... He's obviously very upset. So, quick break. Coming back for more Don't Ask Me No Questions. I love the money. Welcome. Oh God!
Start again.
I might leave that one in. Fuck it. Welcome back to part two. Don't ask me no questions. Here on the Crow Pod, the first one in November. Oh, congratulations, by the way, to Jack Irvin's Texas Rangers of winning the World Series. I hope Jack had a lot of gin last night. I don't know if he still got his RM login, but. You know, a good celebration in order for that fucking music. What was your favorite Jack Irvin moment? I mean, obviously mine was when he wanted to sue me. But, you know.
That probably talks a lot. And honestly, it's been so long ago, Shane, I need a refresher.
I mean, it was that one weekend he sent letters to me, Dingwall, Chris Graham. Yeah. I don't even know who all. We were all like, did you get one too? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was a fun time to be alive, wasn't it? Between Irvin and the Easdales, it was quite something. But yeah, slow hand clap for the guy.
Well done. Oh yeah, don't forget to. So we're gonna do the pre-orders. I said Tuesday. I might drag it out for one more week. We're gonna take pre-orders on the scarves from our good friends there at the Famous. We're gonna take them through the 12th instead of the 5th. So you have an extra week. Through November 12th, you go down the show notes, click on the, you know, at least look at it. Just look at it. Would you just look at it? We're going to do the scar. We're going to do the pre-orders on for one more week. And then I don't know, we'll probably just keep them on sale through Christmas or something. Because obviously, what more would your kid want below the tree on Christmas morning than a Shane scarf? Right, exactly. I mean, come on, people.
A sharp.
Oh God.
Very, very close to a sharp, which is quite appropriate.
But it is also a new month, which means we're giving away more stuff from the Famous and from Blue Room Art. Again, they're helping us at least for the holidays. We're sticking around for a few months, so make sure you go check them out. BlueRoomArt.co.uk. And again, Andy Simpson, you will be getting an email. Other people will be getting emails for some nice stuff from the Famous as well. So check your inbox. Philippe was mildly perplexed. I'm imagining this cryo chamber at Akinhawi is just like behind some mops and
know,
some like empty moving boxes and stuff. It's just like.
It's away in behind the fucking ping pong table, which has been folded up.
That's why he couldn't see it. Like, move this table tennis out of the way. What the fuck is this thing? Mugget, sacre bleu.
And how much did you spend on it just to not use it?
Ask Martin Bain, because I guarantee he's the cut that ordered
it. I do love the idea that of all the most Rangers things that we could possibly do, we're probably the first club in the world to have a cryogenic chamber, and we've just not fucking touched
Never
it.
Never used it once. Ali was just keeping cases of tenants in it. That's all that fucking thing was for. It's perfectly chilled every time.
It's just leftover materials from celebrations of titles in the 90s and 2000s. God, isn't it? That, a tennis table, and a cryogenic
just like chamber. Cardboard cutouts of Archie Knox in there.
All those old, remember when Walter was leaving in his final season, he won the title, and there was all those cunts kicking about with Walter masks.
It's just boxes of those. Oh, man. No, I mean, he honestly, legitimately, very pissed off about what he's inherited in terms of the fit, and not hiding it whatsoever. I mean, I don't know what the hell was happening here. But it wasn't training. It wasn't fitness. Yeah, it wasn't maintaining levels. There were no expectations, nothing at all. And
yeah, the displeasure has been aimed in a more specific direction now, because initially it was at the players.
Yeah, and now it's very much going upward.
It points towards, if he has to mention the facilities available that aren't being used, I'm sorry for anybody that thinks that players... They absolutely should take a level of self-respect and responsibility upon themselves.
Yeah, but they're like sheep. You just tell them what to do.
Yeah, and they're not sports scientists. They're not experts in that field by any means. They are footballers. They're not always the smartest people in the world either.
No.
So they do need direction, and they do need some other person, especially in the modern game.
Look at Alfredo Morelos. Just go. If you haven't looked at him, take a minute. Which one? Just go look at him anyway. You should at least once a week. But honestly, go look at the shape that he is fucking in right now versus the last 2 years.
Ignore the fact that he's been injured for the past 2 weeks. But yeah.
He's been in South America. See, because that was, if you let him go home, he comes back out of shape. He's been home for fucking 6 months. And he's in the best shape he's been in since 2020.
Yeah, it was more the fact that people at the club were quite clearly not doing enough. And by the way, I think that goes a wee bit further with his, you know, the time that he was taken away, he was given extra time away and he took advantage of it. So it should have been reined in then and there, and it wasn't. And I'm only mentioning that to make the point with the fitness stuff. It's quite clear that there's been a long-running theme of indiscipline at Rangers across the board. We've heard stories about players that we won't mention with definitive proof, but you and I know who it probably would be aimed at, Shane, and I'm guessing they're probably of Scottish or British backgrounds. there is a culture in Scotland and the UK that is a bit of a problem, and if Clement can get them to react positively to these kind of changes, then perhaps we'll be on to a winner. But I do wonder how that will play out.
Well, I think, too, it's very, very important. Well, I mean, just like Gerard. Gerard held the board and the people above him accountable, which they fucking hated. But
they had to listen.
Yeah, and it's nice having a manager back in that spot. That, you know, Gio kind of tried to, but again, they made Gio... I mean... I'm not excusing any of his faults whatsoever, but they hung Gio on a fucking clothesline and if he succeeded, they looked like geniuses, and when he failed, they had somebody to ship out the fucking door.
They've done it. This is the fourth manager in 2 years, as I mentioned the other week. They've done it with the past three. Yeah. With Gerard, they did it in his final.
Well, Gerard called their bluff and went, fuck you, I'm off.
He wanted his money to build on his success. He quite clearly was correct to do so, because the season that he left, we got to a European final. If we had better players, we might have also won the league, and who knows, we might have won a European trophy. But that's all hypothetical. The fact of the matter is, he wasn't backed when he asked to be backed. Then Gio had two record player sales. Sorry, one. I know Patterson. He had one record player sale, but we had two record player sales in a very short space of time, and then qualified for the Champions League, never mind reaching a European final, which was apparently worth more than...
Well, but don't forget, the Champions League actually costs you money to play in.
There is that.
Sir Robertson told us that. It's actually, it costs us money to play in the Champions. We don't make any money off of that.
No.
No.
Why would we? No other teams do, apparently. So.
They get there every year just to fucking throw money away. It's not they're not doing it because of the massive financial windfall that you get from it.
As if they've got like 80 million quid just sitting there in the bank because they do things that we don't do, like qualify or sell players.
No, but, build music halls. Don't
no. Hospitality suites and music halls, that's all we need. We don't need anything else to support the main function of the business. But anyway, I mean, aside from that, relating to fitness, relating to, first of all, the managers being backed, Gerrard was the first instance, Gio was the second, and Beal was the third. Beal did not get backed in the summer. The next spend was probably about £2 million, if anything at all.
And they also let him pick everything.
They gave him the keys to Ibrox.
This is not to defend anything that McBeal did, but that's a failure of the executive letting him fucking make all the guy's been a manager for fucking 6 weeks at QPR. Don't give him the keys to the fucking shop and just say, go get whatever you want, son. Have fun.
You should probably put people around him to help him succeed, which we were very much averse to doing.
Are you telling me John Brown can't use Wipeout? Come on, man.
I think he'd do a better job of it than the other clowns that are there. I think Bombers maybe actually found a player or two now and then, given the amount of time that he's been at the club.
Yeah.
But the other folks there are just quite clearly a million miles out of their depth. But anyway, I mean, back to fitness with Clermont, I think we'll get there eventually. We can only look at recent seasons again in that regard. We can look at the Europa League season and how fit we were then. The thing that's missed is that it was Gerrard's pre-season before Gio took over. They were quite clearly fit enough to see the season through, never mind playing 120 minutes back-to-back,
yeah.
I think, on a couple of occasions. So, and it was almost a very successful season. If you can go the distance, it certainly helps. This group will not, no matter what happens this season, if they do it, it'll be by a complete freak. But yeah, ultimately the reason we got to European final was because the players were fucking fit enough. And they need to be to challenge for anything, that includes a league title.
And thankfully, I mean, the wheels are coming off the bus completely over there right now. So, you know, I mean, as far as like Phil's time to come in, I mean, yeah, it was a complete fucking shit show. But they are really, really racing to catch up in that regard. I mean, that is a fucking nightmare over
and
there.
And it's all
they're going to be throwing barriers and metal sharks around again here pretty soon.
For next to no reason, don't get me wrong, I thought bad result under Rodgers, but he'll do what he does. He's not a bad manager, and I don't think he'll lose control of the group, given the
he's perfectly cromulent. You know? He'll do exactly what you expect him to do.
He'll do exactly what you expect a £4 million a year manager to do, it'll be interesting to see what Clermont can maybe do in the winter break. The problem with that under Gerrard was that players always came back looking worse.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine you can do any damage this year, given the state of things.
No.
So fingers crossed on that front. But if Clermont can get them playing his way and get them fit, then we'll maybe go and do something this season.
Yeah. However, hopefully we can find two or three pieces to buttress a squad and also light a fire under the ass of some of the guys who are there. Like, oh shit, I don't have a guaranteed job right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh fuck. Maybe I should do something.
Excuse the dog in the background. There's maybe four.
This is a Doug friendly show. I think we all know.
Having an absolute nerve. anyway, the thing with this group is that I just don't have any faith in it to see it through. There's maybe four players that I could trust right now, and one of them's the goalie. And the other two I'd be fearful of running into the ground. We've got Tav and Danilo and probably Sima that we can trust.
Yeah.
The rest you're going to have to squeeze blood out of a stone with, because there's not much there. It'll come back to the signings that we made in the summer and the points that we dropped in the three losses with Beal that defines our season, sadly.
Yeah.
No matter what Clermont does, he's a very difficult position. So if he does well, let's hope he stays for a very long time, because he's clearly got something about him if he does. But I'm liking the early indications. He's not going to suffer anybody's bullshit at the very least.
No.
But it's nice having
a manager like that again. Just fuck you. I don't care.
Yeah. if he has the man management skills and the tactical ability to get something more out of this team, then like you alluded to earlier, I'd like to see him with better players, because we'll probably be quite successful and he probably won't be here very long for all the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Scott Arfield's available because Charlotte FC season, they're done. So, I mean, if we want to go drag bodies, but like, we can get him back, we can get Morales back, we can get Kent back. fucking...
On that note, Shane, how about it? I don't know. Look, I discovered the other night via somebody else, I can't remember who the fuck it was, sorry for whoever pointed out, probably on Twitter. Morelos has a break clause in his contract that if Santos get relegated, he becomes a free agent. Look, we're not going to have any money to spend in January, and I said it on the previous podcast with you, Shane, that I don't want to pine for any previous players because we should be past that. But given the circumstances,
however,
would you? We could do an awful lot worse, even if we tried and even if we had the money, because the structure's not there to locate anybody with any talent. But yeah, I wouldn't be against it personally, but I have my own personal agenda there. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see him in a Ranger shirt.
But just give us, we've got an absolute, hopefully, I don't want to speak too soon, but we've got an absolute bastard as a manager. I want many, many more bastards in the team.
Yes.
Please.
I rewatched The Last Dance for like the 20th time this week, mm-hmm. you know, the Michael Jordan document. It'd be like, can you imagine the facts from Alfredo Morelos hitting the desk at the Daily Record that just says, I'm back, and what that would do to Scottish football?
I want him to come back, and in his first game, who's it? I think we play. I went to the fixtures last night, I can't fucking remember, but who cares? Yeah. It's on Jobber team anyway. First game back, 20-somethingth of January because of the fucking nonsense of a winter break. I want to see Morelos in a Ranger strip, fit as fuck, lunging two-footed into some daft...
Making John Beaton have to make a decision.
And hopefully getting away with it just to add to the scene. That would be very, very nice, albeit it is a bit of a dream in my own mind to have to myself.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I want Alfredo Morelos underneath the Christmas tree, along with a shirt.
along with several bookings and several goals and carrying the weight of the team on his very strong back again. All of that, other than Sam, I almost said Sam Dessers there. That would be a fucking nightmare.
We're just combining them. They're all one
thing. Maybe you get a good player out of that. I don't know. I'm not sure, but yeah.
No, that would be worse. That would actually be worse somehow.
Well, if you combine all the worst qualities, it's more than likely. But
it's a £6 million man.
Quite likely it is, isn't it?
Honestly, I'd rather have Lee Majors in the number 10 role right now. There's only a few listeners that get that one.
No, even I don't, but I'm just going to laugh and smile quietly.
Ross definitely doesn't get it, so we don't got to worry about that.
But no, I mean, for all the loving that we've had for Tavon Morelos here, I do have something else that I spotted on the old X.com.
Yes.
So let me just bring up, anyway, to give you a brief intro to this. It's a poll, because everybody loves a poll on Rangers.
Well, there's nothing more definitive on xrangerstwitter.com.
Oh no, you can't get a more clear indication of people's views and thoughts and opinions, can you? A guy on Twitter posted up a poll asking about the possibility of Kent returning. And in fairness to, I'm not going to name him. I've got the tweet here. Not going to name and shame, but I think of the 3,600 people that have voted, they probably know by now which account it is. No problem with them at all, just to be clear with that. Not trying to start any fights. And in fairness to him, I think he was just kind of saying that I personally wouldn't want it, but I just want to gauge opinion. So of the 3,640 people that voted to bring Kent back, I was 37%. No, it was 50%. Way too high, first of all. No, it was 54%. And Sevco, 9%.
Way too low.
I'm sorry, but that poll is invalid. That percentage for Sevco has to be at least 50%. And even then, even then, it's on the side. But 37% is terrifyingly high for I. It was initially up at 45%, and I just wanted to throw up in a bucket.
But, well, you know, actually, I did a poll on, because I put up the, my and David's classic episode, Presidents Who Got Shot and Then Died of Being Shot. If you need something to listen to, you can scroll down a little bit. It's in there. But I put a poll on that one that was Dr. Willard Bliss actually a doctor? Yes was zero. No was 50%. Sevco, 50%.
So. As it should be. As it should be, but I never want to hear a mention of Kent again. Apparently,
we got the best out of Ryan Kent that anybody's ever going to see, and that's never coming back again. He just wants to go lay down and read his art books and, you know, do that kind of thing. Again, God bless him. You know, I mean, if that's your thing, whatever. I don't, you know. I'm not a big Renoir guy, but you know, it's all for him, I guess. Have fun, Brian Kent, in Turkey. Make sure you get your paycheck in advance.
Well, the remarkable thing though is that Lammers has already equaled his goal tally for last season.
Yeah.
So there you go. That should be enough evidence to not want it. But we can't find another inconsistent player either.
I think the one last thing I wanted to get to here, because, you know, as we talked about, I think we talked about last week or the week before, but, you know, we had this problem around not being able to control X players in an appropriate manner or using them in the media in a way that is actually beneficial to the club. And, of course, Monster Munch Man himself, fucking Barry Ferguson, is out. what was the headline? It was like, Barry Ferguson and Clement ideologies clash for player recovery method. Shut the fuck up. Like, one man was the manager of Clyde. The other man has won league titles in Belgium. Like, God damn it, Barry.
Why is this a guy that I'm 30 years old now, Shane, so my memories of Rangers extend maybe to the mid-90s at best. Aside from watching back old games, Barry Ferguson was the guy I loved watching growing up.
The best single season in my lifetime, anybody in Rangers show. Unquestioned, the best single season that anyone has ever had.
Ridiculous.
Every time he opens his mouth up, it's to put the other fucking foot in. That's
it. Of course, he just had to be a massive throbber, didn't he?
God. Look at his fucking family. I mean, it wasn't too goddamn hard, but Jesus Christ, man.
No, I mean, like, he's the poster boy for captains for a lot of people that like to criticize Tav, and if that's the lack of professionalism that he would like to see in a team, to not adhere to that level of criticism that Clement is putting in, I'm sorry, I don't want somebody like that as captain. It worked back then. It wouldn't work nowadays.
No.
I remember him running about the pitch. He'd usually go for Maurice Ross, wouldn't he? He'd usually go and grab him by the scruff of the neck and rattle him about for about 5 minutes. It was a break in play for absolutely no fucking reason at all. I don't think I want to see Tavernier doing that to wee Red Van. That's probably some form of discriminatory abuse. Don't do that to short people. It's strongly
short advised. People got no reason.
But it's funny because you didn't even have to mention who it was, even by
Nick. Oh, you knew.
I already knew. I knew it was Ferguson. It always is. But we've discussed this already, haven't we? These ex players, Chris Boyd, Barry Ferguson. I don't want to hear any of them talk.
Kenny Miller.
Ever. Ever. They might be useful for something now and then, but goodness me, I don't want to hear
I don't know what it is. I mean,
no, when you live
in the world, the only thing Kenny Miller's useful for is showing up on the screen at the fucking Taylor Swift. God,
or did you remember that spell that he had when he went full MAGA?
Yes. God
Taylor. Yeah, I don't want to hear from that guy. No. It's funny when you live in a world, though, where Dennett McInnes was talking during the Europa League coverage, and he actually was saying a lot of the similar things that we've been saying. He's the guy that makes sense rather than anybody else. That's
well, again, look, the only one I ever want to hear from is Neil McCann, right? Well, and Allie. Yeah. I mean, Allie's in a different world that does it. He can't ever say anything wrong. But Neil McCann is the only, like, reasonable one that actually has intelligent things to say that, you know, makes sense.
Can we mention Kevin Thompson as co-commentator on European games, by the way? Just shoot me. I don't even want to walk away from the game and not watch it. I'd rather just be shot in the head. I don't want to hear anybody talking about tracky backies.
Honestly, I've been putting on like the BT Sports or TNT or whatever the hell it is. I can't listen to them. I can't.
No.
It's
no.
so bad.
Jesus
Christ, if I wanted to listen to 45 minutes about somebody bitch about outswinging fucking corners, there's a guy down at the pub who hates him just as much as Kevin Thompson does, and it's just as annoying. So I could go deal with him. I don't want to pay money to listen to that shit.
No. I pay the £30 a month, for goodness knows what reason, for BT, only to avoid Tom Miller. There's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, most football commentators and pundits are not very good at what they do, because I don't think many of them are very bright, and that's no harm to them, but, it's a low bar. It's a very low bar.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can always throw back to Tom's greatest moment of the Twin Towers of Connor Goldson and Phil Hellander there on September 11th.
If Tom, he said it at any other time, at any other time, it would have been bad, but come on.
All right, that's it. We're done. We'll be back. More Don't Ask Me No Questions next. Well, no, next week we're back to normal. This week got fucked up because of the match. Well, I reckon, like, I was sitting here yesterday getting ready to do the show, and I was like, fuck, we play in like 2 hours. God damn it. Whenever the bus shows up. I mean,
yeah. You know. It's easy to forget about nowadays, isn't it? Thankfully, last night maybe might have changed that.
I was going to say, it's appointment viewing again. I actually want to do this. But no, we'll be back. If you're going to the match this weekend, be safe. Danny, thank you again. Of course, Danny, you can find on xrangerstwitter.com at DJ_1872. Don't follow him. Don't do it.
Do not do it. There was 3 people last week, and I have no idea what's possessed you. Just don't. Go away. Please, go away.
It's just whinging terrible nonsense. and again, it's a new month. New month. So we're giving away more stuff from the Famous and Blue Room Art. So get in now, sign up. Again, like if you sign up for a monthly membership, you get like double entries this month. So if you want to do that, it's the time to do it. And don't forget your scharf. Go get your scharf. So that'll do it. Danny, good to talk to you. We'll talk to y'all soon. You guys be safe. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
But you can't be fucking serious at all.